Now the flowers are blooming. We're getting a few warmer days. We're hearing birds. Everything seems to be coming alive. We are joyous. We feel like we're being reborn again. Days are getting longer. We can be out later in the evening outside. So we feel uplifted. Well, to take advantage of that, the Christian Church on the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox, designated that day as Easter, when their Savior, Jesus Christ, was crucified and put in a tomb and rose again. A very, very ancient myth, a very ancient understanding that we are reborn in so many different ways. We are reborn here on earth to experience again the realities that we have created. It's a new beginning. And Easter is that, a new beginning. However, the misconception that someone can die for our sins, theosophy considers it an abomination. It is a scar on the soul because each man is responsible for his own actions, for this sacred law rules the world. Action and reaction. We are the creators of the world in which we live. So, why Easter? Why the vernal equinox? Why around this time? Well, that's when the earth stands in equilibrium, equal day and equal night. And what happens is that there begins to become more sunlight on the surface of the earth. So we feel deep within inside of us, we're going to see more daylight. Each day we're going to see there's more hope. And that's why that time of year we plant seeds. We make promises to ourselves. We make resolutions. We consider for ourselves for a moment as these eternal beings that can create a better world in which we live. We can recreate. And this holiday of Easter is a very ancient, ancient celebration. And it was so important that we see many, many of these great structures, Stonehenge and Grange and Kopecky Tepe, or however we would say that, but these great monuments built by lost civilizations, and they were directed in one direction toward the vernal equinox. So, what is that importance? Well, it symbolizes that in the solstice, the winter solstice, we are in darkness. And as we come out of that darkness, we are daily confronted with light. We're coming into the light. What does that mean to us? Because it has a very deep significance. We have men, I know. We lose contact with nature because we have been a people who have been very engrossed in nature. But now we have become more civilized and more cosmopolitan. But that is not a hindrance. It's just a different opportunity that we now have to reconnect with our spiritual nature. It's said in the philosophy that we should ride the tide of the coming wave. Well, here we have beginning of that wave. It started December 27th, 25th, I'm sorry to say, I'm sorry, 25th. And it's been rising ever since. And now it has sprung forth with hope, with beauty, with harmony. And we are, our nature is taken up with that. And the ancients use this day to tell time. If we go back and look for records of ancient civilization, they are marked by their solstice and what constellation they were in. So by going back, we can determine how many thousands of years this recording was made, because the central point is the vernal equinox. Now, after the vernal equinox, well, what happens? It keeps on rising. We get excited. We're going to have warmer weather, and our minds turn to other things of recreation and activity. And then we hit the autumnal equinox. After the summer solstice, we begin declining. Our energy begins to go within, and we come upon autumnal equinox. And from there, we go even deeper into the winter solstice, into darkness. So it's a cycle. We're in that cycle. We need to recognize that cycle and to use it to our advantage. Be happy. Be joyous. We are alive. We have the opportunity to recreate the world in which we live. So Easter is a celebration of our spirit, and that we are reborn. But when we change our ideas, we are reborn again and again, because ideas are what set us free. Ideas rule the world. So during this time, the ancients would arise early in the morning on the vernal equinox and watch the sun rise. And then on the steps of the great pyramids of the Mayans in Mexico, they would observe the sunset. And it would cast, all those steps would cast a shadow on one side of the pyramid, and it looked as if a snake was crawling down the pyramid. So this was their great sun god, the great serpent. So we find in German and Anglo-Saxon mythology, Ostara, or that princess of springtime, of fertility, of beauty. The Hindus celebrate Rohi, and it's a 2-day holiday. And what they do is they splatter colored powder over each other, and they celebrate and they sing and they're joyous. And it's for 2 days. It's around this time of year. And lo and behold, even the Jews, the whole mythology around the crucifixion of Christ is built around the mythology or the practices of the Jews, of the Passover and of Purim. But transitions, all transitions. So we are renewed. And when the but we always should keep in mind the true meaning. And we have been celebrating since the vernal equinox, the awakening, and we are so enjoying the sunlight longer and longer in each day. So Easter is a time for remembrance of our regenerative nature, not only in physical form, but in spiritual form, because we regenerate our body momentarily. Every second, we have energy passing through our cells, and we have found that it's constantly going on. Change is the only constant. That's the reality. That is the reality. So we make our change with a smile on our face and joy in our heart that we are alive and able to influence the world yet with our presence. So, you know, being a very ancient holiday, there's many reminders of Easter, you know, of the vernal equinox. And we're reminded constantly. And how are we reminded? So subconsciously, through symbols. You know, and so we're going to have our other partner here talk a little bit about symbols and what they mean.
There we go. We want to just start off this portion of the class with a quote from, we believe it's from HPB, The Return of the Sun. In this hour of isolation, with no more any outward thing to lean upon, let the soul incline toward the spiritual sun of all. And it will seem to draw near, and yet nearer till the vernal impulsion quickens the whole nature from within without, as the physical sun warms and woos the life from without within. For every solar system, its sun, so that the teeming planets are never in an unredemptible winter. So we just heard much information about the sun and about the inward experience that Easter truly is. This month we've been looking at the mystery of the mind, and this talk, we would like to continue that. Most people wouldn't think, well, what does Easter have to do with anything like that? But indeed, it does, because the idea of symbols, every theosophy says that everything is dual. There's a higher and a lower aspect to everything. So we can say then that this idea of symbols also has a higher and a lower aspect to it. So how do we look at symbols then? Just like with the higher and the lower mind, with the higher going towards Bodhi, that storehouse of all of our lives of intuition, and the lower being lower mind going towards kama or the passions and desires. But in reality, the two are one. We're looking at this idea of mind and how, whether somebody is living life with the perspective of a higher spiritual idea or with that lower passional idea. So the higher perspective is more of an inward experience. It's a spiritual, it leads to a spiritual life. Whereas with that lower idea, it's a very materialistic perspective and look towards life itself. And also, we have to look at what is the purpose for symbols. What do symbols actually do for us. And we know that symbols, the dictionary talks about a symbol as being a representative of a certain idea, a person, what, you know, anything like that. So with Easter, there are quite a few symbols, and they all have this higher and lower perspective to them. So we're going to look at the idea, especially of the egg, the sun, and the crucifixion. There are many more that can be looked at for Easter. And if anybody has questions on them during the Q&A portion, please feel free to ask them. But this talk will focus, as we said, mainly on the egg, the sun, and the crucifixion. So Easter is considered to be the rite of spring. It is a festival of true life, resurrected life. In the dark winter months, the roots are buried under the snow, the seeds are stored away. Life but pulsates invisibly and unknown, and the farmer waits and watches as the sun moves northwards until it reaches the airy sign, so that the festival of spring may be celebrated. So this quote then actually covers the three symbols. When we look at the festival of true life, resurrected life, we're looking at the crucifixion. Life pulsates, we can say that we're looking at the egg. And then of course the sun, we're looking at that. So, excuse us. So when we're looking then at symbols, and most people don't really look at the renewal idea at this time of the year. Attention seems to be focused more on the mundane, you know, candy, et cetera, that sort of thing. But we have to look at the idea that that the human form, which is the vehicle for the higher nature, has to be kept in good condition, because we need to be able to do the work that we have in regards to universal brotherhood. So death is a natural process, but after death, theosophy would say there is a corresponding rebirth. And when we're thinking of life in regards to Easter, we're looking at the egg. And the egg is a phenomenal piece of nature. It is the symbol of life and rebirth. And the interesting thing with the egg is that, especially with so many creatures, the female actually produces an egg, and the baby is in the shell itself. And in order for the newborn to be strong and active, it has to puncture through the shell by itself, because there have been studies done where if people actually help the baby to come through the shell, the baby is not strong and frequently can pass away. So the whole idea of the egg is the symbol of life and rebirth. The shape is that of the ancient symbol of the universe. The shell is the symbol of the sky. The white part of the sea, the yolk, is the germ of life and earth. And the interesting thing is, in regards to, we know that children love to color eggs, but how many people actually understand what that means, the color, all the different colors of Easter. And all the colors, it's we talk about how the sunlight can go through a prism, can go through a glass, and then it breaks up into all different colors. And it's a symbol of how spirit, when it comes into, not it, but when manifestation comes from spirit, then there's so much diversity, but it all comes from spirit. We are all spirit. So when that whole idea of the coloring of the eggs, we color our lives. It is on us to determine what our life will be. So the whole idea of the sun, then, the spiritual sun, is an internal experience. There's two suns. There's that spiritual sun that is in us, that is our higher nature. And then, of course, there is the physical sun, that if we did not have the physical sun, there would be no life. It enlivens earth, plants grow. It, as was said in the first talk, it can make us feel so alive. And it's amazing when we have sunlight for many days in a row, which really hasn't happened here in Philadelphia for a while. But we feel good. We're more alive. We're more friendly. So the sun really has two aspects to it. And that symbol, most people don't realize the spiritual sun that is within us all. It's a rejuvenating feature of our inner life. And we'll look at what this whole idea of the crucifixion. Easter, it is. The Christians celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. And crucifixion, when we look at the spiritual side, man is crucified on the cross of matter. So it's an indication, it's a symbol of spirit and matter. It is the death of the old and resurrection, rebirth of the new man. And we have to look at this idea that it's a symbol of initiation. So this idea then of the crucifixion is a very important idea, because it is the main idea that Christians use for the celebration of Easter. But for theosophists, we're looking at, as we said, the whole idea of the crucifixion as man on the cross of matter, of spirit and matter. And if we tie all three symbols that were just used, we have the crucifixion, which is the death of the old, resurrection of the new. The egg is that new idea of birth. And then above it all is that spiritual sun. So there are many ways one can look at the symbols of Easter, because it's not just the, we don't want to say lower, but the more mundane, the more physical aspect of Easter. When we think about the in especially the egg, because the egg and the crucifixion, the two of them really have a lot to do with the celebration of Easter. And knowing how these three symbols intertwine together can definitely make the celebration, and it is, it's a celebration of life. It is a celebration of that physical life and of that inner spiritual life. So we can celebrate both. And by celebrating both, we can look at life in a totally different manner. So we will take questions and discussion on this very interesting holiday. SL?
So we are often reminded that while this time of year of Easter is springtime in the Northern Hemisphere, it's autumn in the Southern Hemisphere. So it arouses this idea that the re-energization we feel, the inspiration, the uplifting we feel, is not so much due to the physical circumstances, but is the effect of the uprising, the cyclic uprising all over the world, felt by all people, of our spiritual and higher psychic nature at this point. So we might say that is the real resurrection or rebirth in us, the upswing, the cyclic upswing felt at this time of our spiritual and soul nature.
It's understood that from the winter solstice to the vernal equinox is a very psychic time of on this planet. So that's why we make resolutions. That's why we plant the seeds of hope and aspirations at the beginning of our darkness, and that hopefully will come into the light.
Yes, it's very interesting that first comment about the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere, because we often wonder, especially at Christmas, the whole thing with Santa and the reindeer. We wonder what the kids think, you know, of the reindeer coming through the snow. But it is an uplift of the whole energy of the earth. And if we are aware of that, we can use that to help enliven all of life.
And also that, you know, we have to admit that we're all aware of it. It's just to what degree. And hopefully by this conversation, it will deepen your understanding of this holiday. SL?
Yes, we just wanted to follow up on the comment that in the time of the winter solstice, we plant the seeds in our minds and our hearts that will take bloom as we approach the spring and the summer. But those seeds that we plant in the winter in our hearts and minds did not rise out of nowhere. And in a sense, they are improvements. They are not the same seeds we planted the year before. They're refinements. And those refinements and those seeds we plant in the winter, we're actually formulating now at this time of the year. So in a sense, we are planting seeds now, taking advantages of this upswing in the cycle. We are planting new seeds, new aspirations in our mind, which will form the basis of the seeds we plant in the winter in our mind. So it's really a constant endeavor.
Yes, well, the world is constantly changing, and we need to be constantly busy. Busy with our thoughts and our considerations, because we are eternal beings. And that fact alone makes this idea of renewal very important, and that as we follow through until the summer solstice, you know, we are uplifted, and we need to take advantage of that, and in our spiritual life,
We have a contribution from Theosophy Hall.
It's interesting, the symbolism of the egg. We need to crack the egg to begin anew, in a sense, to be reborn. It needs to be hatched, it needs to be cracked. And if you crack the egg, say a hen's egg, prematurely, it won't survive. It needs, the natural process needs to take place. So we just think that the symbolism of breaking through and breaking out, just as coming out from the tomb, would be the same idea, that we need to put the past behind us and start anew. And hopefully we've been thinking about this through all winter. We've been germinating the seeds of thought for any kind of new efforts we might want to, any new endeavors we might want to embark upon.
So the idea that was just put forth about how we are like the egg, that we have to crack through what is entombing us, so to speak, and that we have to do it ourselves. The responsibility for our life is on us. If somebody else does it for us, it is not going to be as successful, and it may not even work.
And it's, as we study, we apply pressure. We apply pressure to that outside world that we are, our ideas or these ideas are liberating. They set us free. And that the corrupt ideas of like vicarious atonement and someone dying for your sins is something that binds the mind down and locks it up. So just considering these ideas, we are beginning our journey.
And we have a chat, and it's, what do bunny rabbits symbolize about Easter? Well, the bunny rabbit is actually is a mystical symbol of procreation, renewal, and regeneration. And so that is basically it. I mean, because we know that rabbits do procreate, you know, they produce a lot of babies during the year. And we can look at them as being a symbol for the regenerative nature of life. And procreation, renewal, and regeneration.
There's an old legend. It is one of Vostera. Found a baby bird wounded on the ground in winter. To save its life, she transformed it into a hare. Transformation was not complete. Bird took appearance of a hare, but retained the ability to lay eggs. The hare would decorate these eggs and leave them as gifts to Ostara. So that's an ancient legend that was stumbled upon as far as the egg is concerned.
We never heard that before.
You know, the Temple of Dionysus. You know, this was a very joyous and revelous holiday. And it was around springtime, it was around the vernal equinox. And this was celebrated by the Romans. And it was, Dionysus is the god of fertility, of bringing forth, of abundance. There's even a festival in Thailand called Songkran, in which they throw water in each other. You know, and why would they do that? Well, it's because it's the spring water festival, and water is used as the element of which they celebrate at the spring. But during this time, they go to the Buddhist temples or the monasteries, and they take after the they go visit the elderly, and they dance in the street, and they throw water in each other. So it's a festive holiday. So, while we're just saying we can go on, you know, even in Egypt, they had the festival of Isis, you know, and Ireland, St. Patrick's Day, when they drove the snakes out of Ireland, which were the adepts, for the pagans, as they would say. So, you know, even Passover and Purim is during this time of year, in the spring.
So we have a comment here in Theosophy Hall.
So the lighting up of Manus is January 4th. That's been called the Esotericist New Year. That's what it is. But we're wondering about Easter. Seems like an intensification, or almost another impulse toward that, the evolution of man through the lighting up of Manus. It's because it's the return of the day begins to get longer. Well, actually, that happens. That happens earlier, but the day is continuing to get longer until the vernal equinox, and then it starts to get shorter again. So we're just talking here, but we're postulating, could that be an intensification of the process of the lighting up of Manus during Easter?
Well, it seems like it would be, because it is, and the impulse is stronger at this time of year. So whatever has been going on, especially of a higher nature, since January 4th and the lighting up of Manus, then it would only seem natural that everything is given that upward impulse, that upward push. But we need to take advantage of it. We need to be aware that that is something that can happen.
You know, this holiday is a time of renewal, but also reawakening. So even if we ponder these ideas, that we are putting ourselves in harmony with the cycle, you know, and it will help lift us in our natures and in our work. So we need to take advantage of this time of year. If someone had their hand up, SL?
That lighting up of Manus, when that occurred in the history of our human evolution, it was the lighting up of a potency, but a potency which will not really express itself till many years in the future. And so it's a continuous process. Not only are more individuals lit up, but that process goes on. And we think that what Easter tells us is, in spite of that lighting up, the materialism, the illusions of our earthly existence clouded over, like the sun, and makes it seem relatively dark. But even so, there are times when that ray of our higher mind breaks through, and that's what we feel. So it's a pointing the way, a continual opportunity to work ourselves out of these clouds, this darkness of illusion.
And because it's part of our psychic nature, our feeling nature, are we attuned to our feeling nature? So, that's part of the journey, becoming more in tune with nature. And we live in a body that was made up of nature. Yes, Al?
So names are also symbols. And one of the symbols associated with Easter is the idea of Christ, Jesus the Christ, particularly connected with his death and resurrection. What is the understanding presented to us of theosophy, by theosophy, of the meaning of that name or that designation, Christ or the Christos? What does it refer to?
Well, the Christos principle is considered to be the anointed one, and it applies to every initiate at the moment of what is considered to be his second birth or resurrection. If anybody wants to add to that.
The question again?
So we understood the answer to be that the Christos is the idea of the initiate, and when they achieve that enlightenment, they're designated as the Christos.
Well, the Christos is a neophyte, and he's like a disciple who's on probation. And then we guess once he gets to a certain level, then it's looked at as being Christos.
In terms of, how it's terminated or how it's classified, Christos is that light which shines within us. That's how we identify it. Christos, the Buddha, Christos is our compassion, our love, our tolerance, our patience, our equal-mindedness. So, the first explanation is exactly how you would define it, but how we would feel it, it is that a perceiver, that witness, that light that shines within us. And you can't hide your light under a bushel basket.
We have a comment here in Theosophy Hall.
So there are sons of light and truth and love, and they suffer torments for humanity. Those elder brothers and the Nirmanakayas, who are helping from behind the scene mostly, they've been through all these tortures themselves, and they have resurrected themselves and transcended the forms that we use. Yet they are connected with us. They're our elder brothers. And we can look at the animal passions as vultures, in a sense, picking away at the carcass. But the vultures are necessary to clean up. They provide a service. So as we chip away at our animal passions, then we can do like Jesus has said, greater things. You can accomplish greater things than I have. the so-called miracles that were attributed to Jesus, which are not actual miracles, but just laws once understood, but now are hidden from us.
Did you have a question on any of that? Or just a comment?
Well, how do we begin this path? How do we, I mean, what's
so,
the first step?
So in other words, trying, you know, we think that we are the vultures, that we have to clean up our own mess. And that the way we can do that, I mean, it's like we're being given a gift here at Easter. And we have to understand that we need to take that impulse into ourselves and use it. We have to take responsibility. And as we're chipping away at the shell of materialism that is surrounding us and preventing us from reaching our highest potential, then we can, just like the vulture, we can clean up our own nature and help to rise, to raise it up to a higher level. There's a chat that's here that kind of goes along with this. Can resurrection be looked at as a rising to a new level of consciousness? Yes. And that resurrection is what we are doing at this time of year, is using that higher impulse that the earth is giving us, taking it inward and using it to clean up our nature.
We have a commenter, SL.
The previous comment about the vultures of passions led us to think about another Christ figure, and that would be the story or the myth of Prometheus. The god, if you will, the Titan, who defies the gods and brings fire to humanity, symbolic of the lighting of up of the mind, which gives us a higher degree of consciousness, but also makes us more aware of suffering through the passions, and those passions being the vultures, the birds that ate away at his liver every morning. But then we're told that he says, he predicts that some great hero will come in the future that will liberate him. And of course, in the story, that's Hercules. In a sense, symbolic of the adept who goes through the various trials, and one of his great accomplishments is to liberate or free Prometheus. So we find in all these legends, even in the foundations of our Western tradition, reference to this same idea brought to us at Easter.
Yes, this story is told all over the world.
We were just given a reference from Theosophical Movement, Volume 27, on this idea, from Prometheus Unbound: to suffer woes which hope thinks infinite, to forgive wrongs darker than death or night, to defy power which seems omnipotent, to love and bear, to hope till hope creates from its own wreck the thing it contemplates, neither to change nor falter nor repent. This, like thy glory, Titan, is to be good, great, and joyous, beautiful and free, this alone, life, joy, empire, and victory. From Shelley. Well, we have a few minutes.
Yes, we do. You know, we mentioned that there are many monuments throughout the world that commemorate this time of year, you know, like Göbekli Tepe and Stonehenge and Newgrange, Angkor Wat, Machu Picchu. And there are many, many more. And we found it interesting that they use the vernal equinox as a point of reference, and that wherever the vernal equinox came on at a certain time in the zodiacal clock. So in Aries, or it would become in Taurus, or it come in Pisces, or it come in Aquarius. These were all periods of time, and this is one of the reasons why we see all these temples or these stone monuments with an orientation toward the vernal equinox, because that was how they kept time. And maybe our time has come. Not yet, but we have to remind you that all activities of the lodge are carried on through voluntary contributions of time, service, and money. Now, what that means is that this is the United Lodge of Theosophists is a school where if you wish to develop your ability to help and teach others, we facilitate that for each other. You know, because these words are very difficult to be spoken, because the pressure from the outside world is they don't want to hear this. But we are strong in our nature and committed to helping free these ideas so that the world itself can be set free from the enslavement of these false ideas, this vicarious atonement. So may this holiday bring you warmth and happiness and color in your life, and be well and prosper. I think our meeting is adjourned.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Nice seeing everyone and those I don't see.